could argue it was Francis of Assisi, patron saint of the environment, with his canticle to Brother Sun, who first showed the way towards a greener church. More recently, Pope John Paul II was well known for his ecological concerns, dedicating the World Peace Day message back in 1990 to the theme "Peace with God the Creator, Peace with all of creation." In that document, he explores not only the theological questions of man's stewardship of creation, but also raises the very real fears of increased conflict, poverty and insecurity provoked by a reckless exploitation of the Earth's energy and other natural resources. And Pope Benedict too has repeatedly spoken of the problem of costly and increasingly scarce energy supplies, calling for more responsible behaviour to redress the balance of man's destruction of the environment. Well, now the Vatican has gone one step further still, practicing what it preaches by installing solar panels on the roof of the modern Paul VI Audience Hall, thus generating 300 megawatts of clean energy to heat and light the huge building. Designed by Italian architect Pierluigi Nervi and inaugurated by Pope Paul VI in 1971, the hall already had raised concrete tiles on its gently sloping roof to keep the building cool during the long hot summer. Since that original roof was in need of restoration, the Vatican's technical team decided it was the perfect moment to install the new solar panels, paid for by a German alternative energy company called Solar World.
Yes, the idea comes from the words of the Pope, the Holy Father, about the environmental topics, and of course from the good matching between this kind of installation and the configuration, the shape of the building of the audience hall.
Mauro Villarini is the engineer in charge of alternative energy projects within Vatican City. He told me why those responsible for running the smallest state in the world are placing an increasingly high priority on such environmental concerns.
Because we think that it's important to give a signal to the world about the duty that every state has to work on about environment, the care on environment and the duty on developing renewable energies.
Can you tell us about any other kind of projects, any other kind of work that is already underway or that you're planning to make the Vatican a greener state?
Well, we can't reveal everything, but yes, we want to develop other projects, important projects. One here in the state about solar cooling production, and other projects outside in the extra areas of Vatican City State where we can use biggest surfaces, and so we can reach biggest powers.
What about even smaller details, like, for example, recycling?
Yes, we have also a plan about energy saving, and so the rescue of energy, the same project of the Vatican Canteen is an example of energy rescue. In that project we use an absorber chiller, which is able to rescue the energy that you would not use. So you can rescue this energy and produce, for example, cold for the canteen where the employees of Vatican go every day. And so you have in the summer with the energy which would not be used otherwise, a nice, pleasant environment inside.
I think it's important that this kind of science arrive also from people which are not technically obliged to They don't see that thing as a mission, but they realize the general importance of the system.
Italian scientist Carlo Rubbia is a member of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences and won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1984. He now focuses his research on new technologies for renewable energy sources and was present here in the Vatican for the inauguration of the new solar panels on November the 26th, 2008.
There are two questions coming here. One question has to do with the fact that that the resources coming from fossils are relatively limited in time. You know, in a sufficiently long period of time, one has to find other forms of energy. The fossils are not forever. So there is one question. Fossils may be prematurely required to reach a limit if, as we believe, there are very substantial phenomena coming from global warming, which in fact will limit the amount of producing of fossils far earlier than it would be possible by just burning anything which is there to be burnt. And this is in fact our major concern, that which you see some signs of that, which are universal. If you say, even the Nobel Committee has recognized the importance of these things last year, many countries have discussed, there are lots of arguments worldwide, that one should curb the emission of fossils in a gradual way. And the real question is, what else can we do? Because energy is necessary. Without energy, there will be no happy mankind. There will be no solution to the world. It's one of the basic things which make our existence possible and acceptable. And surely, no energy means also lots of unrest, a lot of competition, a lot of fightings, is the whole human race will have serious problems if the energy will become cheap and abundant energy will be missing. So we have to find new sources. And the sun is definitely one of the sources which is worth considering. In my view, it's a superb source of energy, which has all the elements which permit a progressive diffusion of this. Obviously, the example today is a symbol in the sense that it takes much more that energy than that to make a twist, a change into the situation of energy production. But examples have a significance in the sense that they can prove the possibility of doing that something, and they also convince people of the importance of doing something. And therefore, although the present object is a modest thing, it has the seeds for a much bigger development and an improvement, which of course science and technology are now getting prepared to do, and is a step in the right direction. So I think that today's celebration is something which I think is important, and I'm happy to be here.
We're shortly to see a change of leadership also in the United States. Are you hopeful that there may be some significant changes in the energy policies coming out of there soon too?
Well, let me say, I believe that today in renewable energies, Europe is definitely the number one. For 8 years, 10 years, we had a rather conservative approach. And many of the natural resources, which are also possible in Europe as well as in the United States, sun is everywhere. In fact, they have not been used because of intention of developing oil or going to Alaska to do some terrible things and so forth and so on. Now, I suppose that sooner or later the United States will also have to accept the necessity of a change towards renewable energies. And in fact, many signs arrive already to that effect. For instance, California, for instance, is very different from the point of view. It produces, for instance, one quarter of the energy per person than the rest of the United States. And this is in the right direction. Also, the renewable are very well developed. But what I say is that Europe has the opportunity to take the position of number one in the field. In fact, it is number one in the field of renewable, and can develop a large amount of new technologies, which no doubt will be used by everybody. So we have in Europe a head start for something which, in my view is inevitable. It says a head start must be preserved, must be continued. In fact, we had decisions. Europe is the only country which takes a decision which is a value of a law. which forces people to do something different. Now, unfortunately, Europe is only 25% of the total energy of the world. And there are two major sources of energy. One is the developing countries, China and so forth, which nowadays are producing a large amount of energy because of their number. And they're growing quite quickly in their per capita utilization of energy. On the other hand, there are the rich countries like United States, Canada, Australia, and so forth and so on. So these people so far are rather reluctant, rather lukewarm on the point of change for two reasons. One is, say, because the developing countries say, well, it's not our job. Industrial and civilization was their invention. And the other say, well, the last drop of oil will be ours, so if you allow me to say that. And for these reasons, it seems to me that Europe should foster a support on this idea also from the other countries, both the developing countries and the developed countries. And these two things, in my view, are essential, because with only one quarter of the assets in terms of energy, you cannot change the world. If the remaining three quarters will continue to waste energy like crazy.
Thanks there to Italian scientist and Nobel Prize winner Carlo Rubbia. And earlier you heard Mauro Villarini, the engineer in charge of alternative energy projects for Vatican City State.